Chapter 5, The Battle on the Overpass, details the efforts of the UAW to gain bargaining rights for the workers at Ford, the last holdout in the automobile industry. It is also a story about the company, its birth, growth, transitions, and decline during the lifetime of its founder, and the contradictions and idiosyncrasies that marked the man. I chose this segment, The Death of Ford, as a sample of the writing style and perspective that is found and reflected throughout the book. On April 7th, 1947, Henry Ford died. Eulogies poured in from around the country extolling his achievements. 100,000 mourners filed past his body as he lay on view at his historical recreation of Greenfield Village. At an appointed hour on the day of Ford's funeral, workers in all industrial establishments in the state of Michigan were requested to stand at their station and pause for 1 minute of silent tribute for the man who symbolized the American automobile industry. In Ford's case, Shakespeare's Antony got it backwards. It was mostly the good that remained and the evil that was interred with his bones. The anti-Semitism, intimidation of his workers, and his small-mindedness were separated from the rags-to-riches story, the $5 day, and his acts of generosity by the word but. Henry Ford had these foibles, but he was the protagonist of an American success story who rewarded his workers with the $5 day. Harry Bennett and Ford publicist W.J. Cameron were easy villains to blame for the excesses in deed and word of the Ford regime. Harry Bennett and the word but protected Ford's legacy as staunchly as the service department had defended his industrial empire during his lifetime. To the public looking for a hero, the territory on the other side of the butt wasn't a place many were interested in exploring. In many respects, Henry Ford symbolizes an America that still yearns for an idealized past and is discomfited by the erosion of its Anglo-Saxon bloodline. He was a pioneer of the 20th century, whose feet were firmly planted in the religious and pioneering traditions of the colonial past. His writings tout a Calvinist pursuit of divine redemption through the avoidance of sin, rather than by a resume of charitable service. His definition of sin was broadened to include any of the socially undesirable practices with which he disapproved. And he strove with a missionary zeal to instill his values in the culture. Ford, the self-taught mechanic who disdained intellectual achievement, is an exemplar of the America that elevates ingrained belief over scholarship. Ford's America is the America to which many conservatives wish to return. It was never a land of abundant liberty or amenable to the pursuit of happiness, but it did demand self-reliance. The experience of the Depression and the Second World War exposed the limits of self-reliance and created a greater sense of community. That sense of community manifested itself in labor unions and government social programs. Politics, in its purest form, is the art of balancing between the rights of the individual and the well-being of the community. The pioneering experience taught self-reliance, but excessive devotion to self-reliance fragments communities into lonely islands.